Hello and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at stories in health, science, and technology. I'm Kyle Diaz. Later in the show, Missouri may be ill-equipped to combat prescription drug abuse. But first, last week was Suicide Prevention Week at the University of Missouri. The school put on a series of seminars to educate people about suicide rates, the causes of suicidal behavior, and how to talk to someone who might be suicidal. KBIA's Camille Maestracci has this story.
Okay, I've dealt with people that have had those kind of thoughts before, and I hate to ask this question, but have you ever thought about ending your life?
Every year, the University of Missouri organizes the Suicide Prevention Week on campus with training sessions like the one you just heard. Students learn and practice strategies for talking to someone considering suicide. The last question posed to a potentially suicidal student is the first step in the QPR program. Then comes P for persuade and R for refer. Christy Hutton is a trainer with MU Counseling Center. She says it's important to keep on educating people about suicide. After all, she says, it's the third leading cause of death for young people between the ages of 15 and 24. But above all,
the risk for suicide is growing. It's the third leading cause of death for young people college age. And every life is really important to us. Suicide is the most preventable cause of death. So if we can slow those numbers down, each person's life is so worthy. It's worth a week.
The most recent data from the American Association of Suicidology show that about every 2 hours, one young person kills themselves. The suicide rate for young people increased 3% from 2007 to 2008. Shannon, who preferred her last name not to be used, is a 22-year-old student at the University of Missouri. She went through a very long depression and attempted suicide multiple times while she was in middle school and high school. She says she was feeling like being dragged down and like she was pulling everybody down with her. Suicide seemed like the solution for her to make the pain stop.
I think that the real reason that I didn't ever succeed is because I never really got to the point where I didn't where I wanted to die. I more got to the point where I just didn't want to live. And I think that there's a big distinction between it just wanting to end and everything, all of the pain and all of the problems and all of that just being over and it stopping and just not wanting to live anymore and to actually wanting to die. For me, it was a solution. It seemed like the way to make everything stop.
Most of the time, there are warning signs that lead toward that direction. Among them, the National Alliance on Mental Illness lists a change in eating or sleeping, performing poorly in school, or losing interest in the things they once loved to do. Preventing suicide starts with being able to identify these signs. Carol Graham has lost two sons. Her oldest, Jeffrey, died while serving in Iraq in 2004, and her youngest, Kevin, committed suicide at the age of 21, just 8 months before that. She says she knew Kevin was somehow tormented, but she'd never have guessed he could die because of that.
On some level, I think being a mom, I feel like somehow I should have been able to save him. I wish I'd known more. Sometimes I think as parents, we see what we want to see. In my mind, he seemed perfect. He was an A student. He was so caring, so loving, so unselfish. So on some level, I think that's why we have to speak out, because we can't bring Kevin back. There's nothing we can do to bring Kevin, but we just know there are other Kevins out there that are suffering in silence, that have depression, that maybe have parents that don't get it.
Sometimes recognizing the classic symptoms of depression that may lead to suicide is key in preventing a tragic death. Back at the MU Suicide Prevention Training Session, MU counselor Christy Hutton recalls a particular moment when recognizing the sign helped her save a life. She says her best friend, who is a musician, sent her a letter about how awful he felt. Then he gave her his most prized possession, his music collection. This was the sign. Hutton recalls the friend at his wedding 10 years later.
He came up to me. You know how at the end of the wedding, the bride and groom walk out and everybody claps. And he stopped where I was sitting at the edge of an aisle and reached over and grabbed me and said, "I'm here today because of you. I just wanted you to know that."
Kevin and Jeffrey's mother, Carol Graham, gave a speech to help kick off MU Suicide Prevention Week. She hopes that sharing her tragic experience will make people more aware about suicide and how to prevent it.
The more educated we are, the more trained we are, then we can see the warning signs and we can save some. We can save a lot and we can save ourselves. The people that are sitting in this room that may, you know, some of them came up to me tonight, that they themselves are having thoughts of suicide. They know they're people that care about them, that it's diagnosable, it's treatable. But I think it's just like any other illness. Are we going to save everybody? Maybe not, but we sure can try.
After she told her story, Graham stood outside with the attendees, sharing tears with some of them and giving hugs to everyone who needed it. Camille Maestracci, KBIA News.
I'm Kyle Diaz, and you're listening to Under the Microscope. Prescription drug abuse is an increasingly common problem, especially for rural communities, but the Center for Disease Control says that Missouri is missing vital legislation to combat such abuse. KBIA's Sarah Radel has his story.
The Center for Disease Control recently reported that prescription drug abuse has reached epidemic levels nationally. It called for states to use their drug monitoring systems to crack down on non-medical use. But Missouri is one of two states that don't even have a drug monitoring system. CDC health scientist Christopher Jones worked on the report. He believes these systems are vital to catching doctors who overprescribe painkillers and patients who may be selling to others.
Prescription drug monitoring programs are a necessary clinical tool to improve public health and public safety. And all the surrounding states of Missouri have a prescription drug monitoring program. It makes sense for the state to pass this as well.
Jones says it's even more dangerous when surrounding states have these systems. He says more lenient states will see what he calls pill mills. Pill mills are for-profit doctors' offices that prescribe painkillers without examining a patient. Though Missouri lawmakers introduced legislation in the 2010 session to create a drug monitoring system, the bill quickly died. Seth Logsdon is the assistant of state legislator Keith Frederick, who introduced the bill.
We didn't have time in one session that it was introduced to get everybody on board as far as having them understand the complexities of the bill. People aren't going to vote for something if they're not totally sure about what it is.
Logsdon says a similar prescription drug monitoring program will be proposed in the 2011 session. He says he hopes legislators will have more time to become familiar with the bill. Sarah Radel, KBIA News.
That's Another Microscope. I'm Kyle Diaz. Thanks for listening. You can find these stories and many more at kbia.org.